This is Equestrian Legacy Radio. Songwriter Michael Martin Murphy, and in the second half of the show, we'll be joined by the founder of Cowboy Dressage, Eitan Beth-Halachmi. The Campfire Cafe is made possible today by our sponsors in the General Store. You'll find everything for the horse lover and those that love the equestrian lifestyle in the General Store at equestrianlegacy.net. When we come back, we'll be talking with Michael Martin Murphy.
I'm a big racehorse. I can run so fast I don't even think about being last. When I make my move, I don't feel no pain. I got running blood, so cut loose my reins. Don't hold on, don't hold back. If you're gonna run on the winning track, trying hard is not enough. You've got to have the running blood. Through my mane, I can't be held back, boys, I can't be tame. I'm a wild horse running across the plains. I got running blood, so cut loose my rein. And don't hold on, don't hold back. If you're gonna run on the winning track, trying hard is not enough. You got to have the running blood. You're gonna really see me shine. God gave me strong legs for a reason, to be the first to cross the line. Crack, feel the muscles rippling across your back. When you make your move, give it all your strength. When that running blood beats them by a leg, don't hold on, don't hold back. If you're gonna run on the winning track, trying hard is not enough. You've got to have the running blood. So don't hold on, don't hold back. If you're gonna run on a winning track, trying hard is not enough. You've got to have the running blood. You've got to have the running blood. Ah!
Joining us today on the show, Michael Martin Murphy. And Michael, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
I am doing fine. It's a beautiful day here in Tennessee, and I think you're in Georgia. I guess it's pretty down there.
Actually, it's starting to look like a little bit of rain, but they need a little bit of rain here, so that's great. It's beautiful down here. We just played in Decatur, Georgia, which is really Atlanta, last night, and we're playing in Carrollton, Georgia, downtown today at a thing called the Amp, which is an amphitheater. It's a big outdoor show for the Carrollton community. And then I'm headed across to Oklahoma, and I'm going to be in Oklahoma for a while.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, it's you got to check your website out, because you keep a busy, busy schedule. And MichaelMartinMurphy.com is the website, so we'd encourage folks to visit that and check to see where Murphy's going to be. But you were just in Nashville last week and had a great show at Third and Lindsay.
Yeah, that we were there. We were there as part of the Americana. There was an Americana conference going on. I like to come when the conferences that surround the genres of music that I address were going on, so that was fun to be there. And got a chance to spend some time with Fiona Rose and talk about the upcoming trail ride next year. And got the chance to do some planning about the Guthrie, Oklahoma Horsewoman's Challenge that's coming up. And since it's all about horses, that's why I'm talking to you.
Gosh, well, it's always fun to talk about horses. And, I've told several people that you are about as knowledgeable about any subject that you want to talk about as anyone that I know, from history to music to horses to just about anything. You've done a lot of traveling this summer, and I know you had a great event up at Red River at your Rocking 3M Amphitheater, and that just ended a few weeks ago, didn't it?
It ended Labor Day weekend, but I stayed around for a couple more weeks, and we played one more concert on the Rio Grande Scenic Railroad at that amphitheater, just about an hour north of my amphitheater. So Red River and Southern Colorado are kind of developing an entertainment segment now. Of course, we get a lot of tourists from all over the country that come out for that. But it's a very Western kind of a feeling to be out there, and a lot of horses around, a lot of horseback riding, a lot of horse trainers and people that have their summer cutting horse training places there, right there in Red River and Angel Fire in Southern Colorado. So, you know, we keep it Western, we keep it cowboy out there.
Well, that's good. I still have that on my bucket list. I know a lot of folks do, to get out and visit the show, and the folks that have been out there just rave about the location, and still waiting to see if you catch any trout off of the back of the stage.
Well, I haven't really. You can fish off the backstage. I haven't actually done much fishing off the backstage this year. I was fishing in the little lake back there, just kind of on off days. But I had to confront the idea of what if I went back there and started trying to catch a fish and I didn't catch anything. I think the audience might not be too impressed by that. So. We may have to sort of set up a deal on that. I don't know.
Hey, you may have to pre-hook a trout or something. I don't know.
That's right.
Well, you'd mentioned visiting in Nashville last week and visiting with Fiona and Ryan, and a lot of folks know that you have family in Nashville, and there is a trail ride that's coming up, and you know we want to talk about that just a little bit. It's going to be the first weekend of June 4th, 5th, and 6th at the Circle E Guest Ranch between Nashville and Belvidere, Tennessee, and this is the second year for the event. Going to be bigger and better than ever, and we're real tickled to have the Craig Cameron's Extreme Cowboy National Championship to be part of that event this year. So it's going to be a lot of fun, but some great, great music and entertainment that's going on as well. And you have a special sponsor this year that's sponsoring your concert on Saturday night. And we're pretty excited about that. That's the NRA Whittington Center in northern New Mexico. And can you tell us a little bit about that center?
Oh, boy, can I ever. It's one of my favorite places to go. The Whittington Center was created a number of years ago by a man who was a big supporter of the NRA, but he very wisely created this center, which is managed by the NRA, in such a way that to belong to it and attend it, you do not have to be a member of the NRA. There are some people don't like the NRA, and some people that are on the fence about it, but they like to shoot. So
right.
It is a training range for a lot of military people and also police people from several states come over there, particularly Colorado, New Mexico, of course, and Kansas and Arizona. But they have the 25,000 acres, and they have the finest gun ranges in the world there. And they have all kinds of long-distance gun ranges, black powder, pistol, sporting clay, everything. I've been going there for years, and I'm a lifetime member of the Whittington Center. Every year on Labor Day weekend, they have a thing called the Founders Club, which is honors the founders of the Whittington Center. And this year, they created several different levels of support you can give the Whittington Center. You had a dinner for what they call the Patriots Club. Now, that's the highest level. People pay $5,000 a piece to be in the Patriots Club, and then they have an auction. Well, this year I played a concert for that dinner. 40 of the high-end donors to the Whittington Center were there. People who, of all kinds, from all over the country. And it was just inspiring to play. And they came up and said, we want to, you proposed to do a guitar auction for us, benefiting us tonight, but we want you to know that we're aware of the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation, and we want to make a contribution by splitting the cost of this auction guitar with you guys. So I said, well, that'd be fine. That'd be wonderful. I mean, this was designed to go to you guys. But, well, it turned out the guitar, which had the words to Wildfire on it, was auctioned off that night for $28,000.
Oh, wow.
And so the split ended up being one of the biggest contributions we've ever received for Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation, $14,000, which went in the bank over at Regions Bank in Nashville a few days ago when I was passing through there. And one of our board members, Lisa Harless of Regions Bank, was there. And we'll be posting a thing about that on Facebook and also on your website pretty soon, because we're really excited. The NRI Whittington Center wanted the $14,000 to go toward helping sponsor my concert at the Trail Ride this year. And I want to take a second to say, I want everybody to understand, if you come to this event in Belvidere, Tennessee, you don't have to ride. If you are hurting, or you don't, or you have an injury or something like that, or you don't even have much experience, right? You can come to the concerts and come to the fellowship of the event without riding a horse. Of course, it's a wonderful place to ride horses. It's thousands and thousands of acres in East Tennessee. You know, first time I ever saw it, I said, wow, this is world-class scenery. And it's amazing what they've done over there at the Circle E Ranch. It's not just a little guest ranch with a few cabins. They have a huge amount of forested land to ride in. And there's wonderful facilities over there for the horses. So I just want to make sure that everybody knows this is now, this year, this has really gone from a trail ride with a few things going on to an event that has vendors, an event that has the Craig Cameron Extreme Cowboy National Championships right there on the ground going on. So we want lots of people to turn out and help out kids and older people who have osteogenesis imperfecta, and that means brittle bone disease. And my granddaughter's dream, of course, has always been to be able to ride a horse, and she has done a little bit of horseback riding in her life, but it's obviously very risky, so she has to do it in a closely supervised situation. But she did get on the back of a horse during the trail ride this year, and I'm sure she'll be back to do it again. So,
well, and we've got some great photographs of the event last year, and Fiona on a horse, and a little video with her on horseback. But yeah, it is a great facility. It's the Extreme Cowboy Race will be going on Friday and Saturday. People will be able to come and watch that. There's no cost. And then on Thursday evening, we'll have an auction, a live auction to benefit the foundation. And then we're going to have a cowboy up ball, and we'll be recognizing the king and queen of the cowboys on Thursday night. And then we've got Templeton Thompson and your son Ryan and the Sawdust Brothers band that will be in concert on Friday night. And then, of course, the great concert with you on Saturday night. So plenty for everybody to see and do. And they've got 249 campsites. They've got 400 stalls. And as Murph said, just beautiful scenery up there. Great restaurant so there'll be plenty of good food.
And again, if you're just coming in to have fun, in the area there around Belvidere, it's one of the most popular places for people to get away on a weekend from Georgia and Tennessee. And there's cabins and great motels that are within, you know, an hour's drive. And it's only, about a two-hour drive to Nashville from there.
Yeah, it's real close to Nashville and Chattanooga.
There are quite a few little towns there. I can't remember the name of any of them. You would probably remember better than I would, Gary, but there's quite a few towns around there that have, you know, Comfort Inns and Hampton Inns and stuff where you can stay. And you can drive out to our Circle E Ranch in the country and see the concerts, go to the dance, do whatever you want. If you choose to ride, great. If you don't choose to ride but you love horses and you love the Western lifestyle, this is quickly turning into a Western lifestyle event.
It really is, and not too far from Lynchburg, Tennessee, with the Jack Daniel's Distillery. So I know some folks that were there last year took off and did a little afternoon excursion to visit the Jack Daniel's Distillery. And, of course, Winchester is just within a few miles from there. So it'll be a big event, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and all for a great cause. And, again, that's June 4th, 5th, and 6th. And I would encourage people to you can visit EquestrianLegacy.net. You'll have information there. And also FionaRoseMurphyTrust.org. And I'm sure there'll be some information soon on your website as well about
well,
that.
Well, you know, people that live in the but our information will probably just be linked to you.
Okay. All right.
People that live in, you know, I ran into last night, I played at a place called Eddie's Attic, which is just a great listening room in Decatur, Georgia. I'm becoming a regular there. I think I'm going to be playing there every 3 months. When we get down into the area to do the trail ride, we'll probably play at Eddie's Attic. But the point was, I ran into six couples that had been to the trail ride this year that lived in the Atlanta area. So if you live in the Atlanta area, the Chattanooga area, the Knoxville area, and you're hearing this interview, it's real easy to get over to Belvidere. It's an easy drive, and it's a great getaway for the weekend.
Well, I've already had people that have contacted us that are coming back from Kentucky and Illinois, and we had folks from as far away as Texas that came and rode last year. So
we had New Englanders there, too. We had Pennsylvanians there.
That's
right.
Some
of the people that...
That's
make
right.
a great camp horse camping products there.
That's right.
They were there. In fact, I bought a bunch of stuff from them.
Well, and I'm going to take just a second and recognize our sponsors. We have started a Legacy Club. It's the Equestrian Legacy Radio Legacy Club, and it's a free membership, and you're entitled to discounts from our Legacy Club sponsors. And your membership automatically enrolls you in monthly and year-end giveaways. And when you were talking about Elaine and Bill, this month, next week, we'll be doing a drawing to give away one of their Savvy Highline systems, and we'll be announcing that this coming week. And then our year-end is for a great two-horse portable watering system that you can put in your trailer. And that's provided by Hydro Horse. And so you can enroll in the Legacy Club at our website, EquestrianLegacy.net. But, that's a pretty neat Highline system that they've got. And really
yeah,
neat.
Yeah, it's for Westerners, we call it a picket line. And,
yeah.
But it stretches between trees instead of you putting up poles. And it's got these great ratchets on it that you're going to ratchet down. Makes it really tight so you can hang a bag that has some feed in it right on the line without it sagging down. I was really impressed with all the vendors that you had there this year. These are people that are on the cutting edge of horsemanship, but particularly the stress on it was horse camping. There's a lot
right.
of people that are really great, brilliant people that design stuff for horse camping, which is something I love to do. We're there. It's going to be a great event, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. And, of course, this is a world where we all know each other. You know, I finally met Templeton for the first time when I was
yeah.
in Nashville last week. And what a delightful lady she is. she's a wonderful artist, and her mother was there. I couldn't tell the difference between her and her mother. They looked like sisters.
Both are pretty ladies and just as sweet as they can be. And Templeton performed last year, and she just jumped right on and said, "I'd like to come back for the next event." So she was tickled to meet you, and she actually will be performing with the American Horsewoman's Challenge next week in Oklahoma City. So you'll run into each other again, not Oklahoma City, but Guthrie, Oklahoma.
Just north of Oklahoma City is Guthrie, and of course that's the legendary Lazy E Arena that was built up there quite a few years ago. It's a huge arena, really great horse facility, and what a perfect place, kind of in the heart of the country, you know, in the heartland, to have the Horsewoman's Challenge, which I'm proud to be a part of, October 3rd through 5th. Some of the greatest people in the horsemanship world will be there. I'm really excited to be talking to a fellow that you're going to bring on the line here pretty soon will be there. Etienne is the guy that kind of almost invented cowboy dressage. In fact, I think he did invent it. I've worked with him a long time ago. We'll get into that when we talk to him. But
we will. Yeah,
we're going to have a lot of fun there, and it's going to be entertaining. I think a lot of times horse shows get kind of boring and repetitious, but Hutch Hutchins, the guy who's organizing it, has gone to the trouble to bring in some music and some speaking and some vendors and some more dramatic kind of presentations. And of course, the icing on the cake is going to be the freestyle, which is my favorite reining event, because people, the job in reining in that deal is to just freestyle, do anything that entertains the audience. And I get to judge that one.
Well,
I get to be the judge of the freestyle deal, because I'm in the entertainment business, and so I feel like we're going to be judging a lot of originality this year and a lot of stuff that's fun. I've seen some amazing things go out there in the arena, but I'll bet you these ladies are going to come up with some pretty wild stuff.
Well, there's some pretty talented horsewomen that are going to be part of that. And one of the favorite songs, one of my favorite songs from your Red River Drifter CD is one called Secret Smile. And you've told me this story before, but I know we have new audience that are never heard the story. How did this come about, Secret Smile?
Well, it's a song I wrote with Pat Flynn and my son, Ryan Murphy. I always tell everybody I wrote it for my wife. Pat tells his wife he wrote it for her, and Ryan tells his wife he wrote it for her. So it was kind of funny, because when I played it at Third and Lindsley the other night, Pat was in attendance. I played a solo acoustic show, and Pat was in attendance, and I made that comment, and Pat apparently leaned over to Lance Callan, who works in publicity for me, and said, "Yeah," he said he wrote it for his wife, and Ryan said he wrote it for his wife. He said, "Actually, I wrote it for all the wives."
The
story behind it is my mom and dad were married for 62 years, and they had a smile that they smiled between each other. That was a knowing kind of smile that you only have between people that really love each other and really care about each other and have a special relationship. And every relationship that lasts a while is a special one, especially these days when 3 out of 4 marriages end in divorce and 45% of our children are born out of wedlock. So that smile was on my dad's face and on her face the day he died. I was in the hospital room just as he closed his eyes and passed.
Oh,
and
wow.
Right before that, he looked my mother in the face, smiled that smile, and said, "I love you, Lois," and died. It was the most beautiful, most manly, romantic thing I'd ever seen. An 88-year-old man laying in the hospital bed, so weak he could barely move, got up all of his manly strength that he could muster to tell his wife that he loved her, and then smiled a smile as he passed. So that's the smile that I was thinking of when I wrote Secret Smile. And my wife, Karen, is a 24/7 cowgirl. She's out with the horses every day, and it's her life. Mine is going around and singing and getting back to the ranch as much as I possibly can to be with her in doing that. But, of course, it's an everyday thing for her.
Right.
And I think of my relationship with Karen through the seasons. You know, I think of her being outdoors in the spring and being outdoors with the horses in the fall and winter and summer. So the song goes through the seasons and how I felt about her in each season. And that's the secret smile that was the same secret smile through all the seasons and the changes and the emotions that you have in a relationship. But that smile is always there reassuring you. So that's the story of the song.
All right. Well, let's listen to Secret Smile from Red River Drifter, and folks are going to love it as much as I do. This is from Red River Drifter, and we're talking with Michael Martin Murphy.
There was mystery in that moment when I first saw your secret smile. Sometimes sunlight, sometimes midnight, sometimes a lady, sometimes a child. And from others you concealed it, but to me was revealed. Secret smile between you and me, secret smile that only we can see. You and me through the years, you and me through the tears, across the miles we'll keep our secret smile. Laughing still in the spring mist, summer's first kiss, fading rainbows on the hill, fall's dark daydreams, sudden sunbeams, your voice whispering through wind and snow. Smile between you and me, secret smile that only we can see. You and me through the years, you and me through the tears, across the miles we'll keep our secret smile. Across the miles we'll keep our secret smile. Promise me you'll keep a secret smile.
That's Michael Martin Murphy's Secret Smile, and Michael Martin Murphy is our guest today, and joining us in just a moment is the founder of Cowboy Dressage, Eitan Bethelachmi. But a couple of years ago, Murph and Eight performed in Denver at the Denver Stock Show. And this is the song that they performed when they were there. This is the Yellow Rose of Texas.
There's a yellow rose in Texas that I am going to see. No other cowboy knows her, nobody, only me. She cried so when I left, and it like to broke her heart. And if we ever meet again, we never more shall part. She's the sweetest rose of color this cowboy ever knew. Her eyes are just like diamonds and they sparkle like the dew. You may talk about your dearest maid, sing of Rosalie, but the yellow rose of Texas beats the bells of Tennessee. But the yellow rose of Texas beats the bells of Tennessee.
Well, I can just imagine Eight doing the cowboy dressage and Murph singing that in Denver. And so we have joining us now Eitan Bethelacmi and Michael Martin Murphy. So, Eight, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I think it's the second time I'm talking to you in the last couple of months, huh?
Well, it is.
Yeah, I'm going to be a regular pretty quick. Just
well,
give
we'll
me
just
a call the next day. We can talk about something.
That's right. There's so much going on all the time. And tell me a little bit about this performance that you guys did. Is that the last performance that the two of you were on?
Both of us. Well, matter of fact, it was the first and last. I remember I met Merv at breakfast the next day, and he was kind of whispering in my ears that it would be nice if I can go with a tour with him one day. And, boy, I got all red, and I blushed, and I thought, God, it'd be nice, me and Merv, you know, with the Yellow Rose of Texas going on a road. Amazing, amazing. But for some reason, I guess we went different ways, and we met again a month ago in Reno. He gave a concert there, and we were guest of honors, if you can call it that way. And we sat there with a bunch of cowboys. You know, those are different kind of cowboys, the one who come and listen to his music. They have different hats, they have different mustaches, they have different look on them, you know, and they feel probably like different kind of music, and that's the one that I am so attracted to. But anyway, that was a night to remember. You know, Merv can tell you probably more about it from his side of the stage because he was higher than I am. He sat there with what you call the Sage Symphony, I think, was it? Wasn't it, Merv?
Yeah, well, just to describe the scene, the show was called A Night of Dancing Horses, which was put on by the National Western Livestock Show in Denver, which always happens in January. And
right.
The idea was to bring in all forms of horsemanship, a lot of dressage, a lot of reining, and a lot of Western pleasure type moves, working cow horse type moves, which Eight's probably the pioneer, maybe the guy who invented cowboy dressage. He does a lot of dressage moves on the back of a Western saddle,
right,
dressed as a traditional cowboy. And I remember that night, it was unbelievable. We had something like 80 people dressed in Bedouin outfits riding Arab horses. We had a couple of people did a routine, the horses dancing to Elvis tunes. I was the band, so we had to do all those arrangements, and it would typically take 3 months of rehearsal, regular rehearsal, to get all that together. And it would just be me and the band and Sandy Pence, who was the director of that show. And
I did that
for 8 years. But the moment that rings out in my, that is in my mind now and always will be, was that although we had all these really amazing horse choreography things to music, that was the first year we used an entire symphony, the Pueblo Colorado Symphony Orchestra, directed by Dr. Jacob Chi, came up. So I was on stage with a complete orchestra, and then part of my job was to ride my horse and sing and be something of an MC on horseback during the show. And so I did a few routines to music while the band played. And then I would go back up on the stage and stand there where other people did their routines, and we were providing the music. There was amazing stuff that went on that night. But when 8 came out and we were playing the Yellow Rose of Texas and Rose of San Antone, he didn't have a ton of other people or special effects, smoke bombs going off or sparklers or anything like that. He was in a white shirt, white cowboy hat, riding pants, I think probably jeans, saddle. He didn't have any fancy. He didn't have any fancy bridle, fancy tack on the horse at all. It was just an elegant horse, and a guy dressed simply as a Texan style cowboy. Because, you know, the Texans don't. He was talking about the different cowboys that come to my shows. He's talking about the buckaroos from California and Nevada. And they're very colorful and very proud and always wear the wild rags and have all the fancy tack. But the Texans, where I grew up, have always sort of thought that stuff was a little bit frou-frou, so they're always been very simple. So knowing that I was going to play Yellow Rose of Texas in San Antonio Rose, he came out in a white shirt, white hat, jeans, simple tack, and did this routine that just brought the house down. 6,000 people were packed into this arena. And then we did it again the next night. So we drew a total of 12,000 people that year. So here we had nearly a 100-piece symphony on stage, and one guy out there dressed very simply like a conservative Texas cowboy, doing horse moves that would just blow your mind. And it looked more like the horse was really dancing to the music than the other. Horses don't really respond to music rhythmically, so it's the job of the riders in that show to ride so well that you create the illusion that the horse is riding to the rhythm of the music.
Now, you know, Merle, I got to go and buy a bigger hat because you make me really...
Eight did it better. He did it better than anybody. You would have sworn that horse did some kind of dance choreography rehearsal for 3 months.
He created
a lope, and he would make sure that the lope was right, exactly the right speed to go with the music. So, you know, you've got and his horse lope is like, he had the rhythm down perfectly.
He did a couple of
side passes, trotting side passes, running side passes, just so amazing.
Hey Merle, I gotta tell you a secret. One thing I learned through the years that I ride and I do what I think I ride better than I walk. But one thing I learned: when you perform, if you are not sure about your performance, you better make sure you got good music, because the good music make you even better than what you are. And I learned it really pretty quick in that business, that when you have the melody, okay, the routine become easier. And a horse maybe doesn't hear the music, but they do hear the rhythm. And if they don't hear the rhythm from the singing or from the symphony or whatever it is, they hear it from the writers who does listen to the music. So there is a magic. I always say that, you know, you ride a horse and you add music and you create magic. And it really was a magic night. Magic night.
Well, for those folks that would wish they were there, if you'll go to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Facebook page, I dug back into the archives, and I have put that on that page so you can see and hear that performance. Yep. from the Denver Stock Show. So it's on Facebook right now at Equestrian Legacy Radio. You can check that out. And
really, I had no idea they did a video of that back then. That's great. Wow.
It is great.
I don't have that. You got to send that to me, Gary.
I'll send it to you. But it's beautiful performance, and yeah, folks are going to have to check that out because it's just great. And we want to take a quick break. We're going to play San Antonio Rose. I happen to have that one from the symphony. And so let's take a quick break and come back and talk more with Murph and Eight, and let's talk a little bit about this American Horsewoman's Challenge. And you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Deep within my heart lies a melody, a song of old San Antonio. Where in dreams I live within a memory, beneath the stars all alone. It was there I found, beside the Alamo, enchantment strange as the blue up above. A moonlit path that only she would know, still hears my broken song of love. Moon in all your splendor, know only my heart. Call back my rose, rose of San Antonio. Lips so sweet and tender, like petals falling apart. Speak once again of my love, my own. A broken song, empty words, I know. Still living this old heart all alone. For that moonlit path beside the Alamo, and rose, my rose of San Antonio. Ladies and gentlemen, down in Texas there's an important style of music known as Tejano music. Tonight we have with us one of America's rising Tejano singing stars, who is a great Western singer as well. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Rick Orozco.
Dentro del corazón una melodía, canción del viejo San Antonio, sueños que yo vivo de memoria, bajo las estrellas solo yo.
But it still lives in my heart all alone.
For that moonlit path beside the Alamo, and rose, my rose of San Antonio, and rose.
Rick Orozco.
Good to be home.
Well, it sounded like you guys were having a big time.
Yeah. It's bring back memories. Bring back memories.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit, Aid, about the American Horsewomen's Challenge and the different disciplines that people are going to see, and a little bit about some of the folks that are going to be participating there. And, of course, Murph is going to be involved in this and helping judge or judging the freestyle. But tell us a little bit about this American Horsewomen's Challenge and how that got started.
Yeah, don't take anything away from him by saying helping, because he's the real thing out there. He maybe doesn't know it, but everybody's going to look to him to get the knowledge. Anyway, I got involved with the American Woman Challenge probably about a year ago. Matter of fact, even more than that. Hutch, I don't know his last name. Is that his last name or first name?
Hutchins. Jim Hutchins.
Jim.
Yeah.
And he's a good friend with Jack Brainer, and that's how I kind of got acquainted with him. And he approached us to be part of the event. At the time, the definition was really not there, but what he had in his mind, he wants to recognize the American trainers to come to float on the top, because we're always talking about the cowboys, the cowgirls a little bit kind of behind, and I think that it's a time for us to recognize that they are good, and matter of fact, some of them probably are better than what we think they are. Anyway, the whole idea came about, and I think whoever decide that it's going to be three different disciplines or three different classes. One of them is the Liberty, and as you know, Liberty work is a lot to do when you start a horse on the ground. And I always thought that I remember as a kid, I never thought much about ground work, because I said, why I want to walk next to him if I can ride him? But
right.
I guess the older you get, more you recognize that you don't need to get on him until you have what you need by do walk on the ground. So groundwork become almost like a discipline for itself, and we're going to see a lot of it at the competition that's going to happen. Cabo Dosage, we talked about it many times, and I think that's not the time to really concentrate about that much, but I'm really pleased that the American Woman Challenge choose Cabo Dosage to be part of the competition, because I think it's bring a lot of both worlds together. In other words, the old classical training and the freedom of the cowboy or the freedom of the Western tradition. In addition to that, we're going to have the ranch trail versatility, and I'm not sure exactly what that includes, but just by the name of it, it's going to probably be obstacles and things that they want to do. Gary, I have next to me a girl that's going to compete in this competition. Maybe she can kind of... What do we got? We got a couple minutes for her to...
Yeah, you were fine. And by the way, Craig Cameron, this will be like homecoming for you guys. Craig Cameron's going to be there, and they're using the Extreme Cowboy for the ranch part of it. But who do we have with you there?
Well, shall I give you a name, or will we keep her anonymous?
Well, I'll leave that up to you.
Well, let's keep it as we don't know who she is. Her first name is Megan.
All right.
Hi,
hey, Megan.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah.
Can you hear her? Hello?
We can hear Megan. And does Megan have a sister that's competing in that as well?
No.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean?
All right.
I don't have a sister.
Oh, a sister. No, she's the only Megan.
Okay, all right.
A cousin she never met.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about this, Megan, and where are you from, and how'd you get involved in this?
I'm from Grass Valley, California. I came across it on Facebook and just loved the idea of incorporating the three different styles of riding and the fact that we could pick our own horse to kind of go on the journey with and see what we could do in 6 months.
Well, do you have a particular discipline that's been more of a challenge for you as you're getting ready for this? We had Mary Miller Jordan on a couple of weeks ago that was talking about her preparation for this. But have you had one discipline that's been more of a challenge than the other?
The Liberty's probably been the most challenging because I haven't had as much experience with it. But it's all kind of, 6 months for a horse that you don't know. And I got him a month after we got our letters, so I've only had him 5 months. It's a lot to accomplish in that short amount of time. So it's all been quite a challenge.
It's funny, I listened to American Citizen here who is saying that she doesn't have a lot of experience with Liberty. anyway, go ahead. Well, I think she kind of summed it out. I tell you, between us, and don't say that to anybody else, is that she wish she can have another 6 months to prepare.
Oh, wow. Well, you can get ready for next year's event. I think there's going to be a next year event to go along with this as well. H, you've got and Megan, this is probably the first judge that you've met. So say hi to Michael.
Yeah.
Hi, Michael.
Hi. Why don't you describe to the listeners out there sort of how the different events go that you'll be challenged with?
Well, Friday is the Liberty, and they've given us a list of things that are going to be required. We don't know if it's going to be, a written pattern or if we just kind of get to go out there and do those maneuvers, but we have to lunge circles around us, big and small, weave through cones, go over jumps, back through things, kind of a variety of things at Liberty. And then Saturday is going to be the cowboy dressage, which is the walk, jog, lope challenge test one. So that's kind of got some fun things in it, turns on the haunches, turns on the forehands, backing in a bend. And then Sunday morning is the extreme cow race stuff where they do ranch versatility. And my understanding is they're taking the obstacles and things from the actual website. So we have no idea what we're getting into on Sunday, but it's going to be a fun surprise.
So when is the freestyle came about?
The freestyle will be Sunday evening after they've tabulated and figured out who the top 10 are.
So that's not part of the competition?
Correct.
It is?
Well, the top 10 will get to compete in the freestyle,
okay.
But that's it.
Okay.
So there are, Megan, there are about 40 cowgirls that will be competing in this. And after they go through those three disciplines, then the top 10 will compete in the freestyle.
Yes, correct.
Okay, all right.
And that freestyle show should be when you get the top 10 riders in there. That freestyle should be a really entertaining, spectacular show for the public. You don't have to know anything. You don't have to know anything about horses or horse training or any of the fine points to really enjoy a freestyle competition.
Right.
It's like freestyle and skiing. If you've ever watched the Olympics, people just get out there and do the wildest things you can think of, and it's pretty hard for the judges to judge it without an audience reaction. And the audience reaction means a lot in the freestyle.
Remember I told you need a good music.
You need some good music. That's right.
When you play good music, I hope some of them pick up that Yellow Rose of Texas.
Well, I bet they do.
They can get points from Michael.
Well, you're going to have, now, in addition to...
Music R Us.
Yeah.
Music R Us. Well, in addition to Michael Martin Murphy, who will be one of the judges, you also, as far as judges, 8 will be judging, won't you?
No, I'm not. Just doing a clinic up there.
Okay, so you're doing a clinic. Linda Pirelli will be there. She's doing a clinic. Julie Goodnight will be there. I mentioned Craig Cameron that will be there. And I know I'm missing some others that are involved in this.
Julie Goodnight, did you say that?
Julie Goodnight, yeah, yeah, she'll be there. Mm-hmm. So it's an all-star cast of clinicians and entertainers and judges that are going to be part of this, and should be just a lot of fun. October the 3rd through the 5th at Guthrie, Oklahoma, at the Lazy E Arena. And something people need to put on the calendar and make sure that they're there next weekend. So it'll be a lot of fun. And Megan, you're just a week away, so are you ready?
Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm packed. I start heading out on Sunday.
All right.
Make a 6-hour trip.
Well, that should be exciting. Whoa. That should be exciting. Well, you know, an hour has gone by pretty quickly. And just so much fun talking with Murph and with 8. And Megan, glad that you joined us on the show. And
I guess I would like to just jump in here and mention just one thing, and that is I'm grateful to Tom Spaulding of Spaulding Labs and Spaulding Fly Predators. He's the one who turned me on to this event and got me lined up with Hutch to be involved. And he's also the guy that brought 8 back into my life after many years had passed from the Dancing Horses show. And I appreciate that very much, too. He is a very strong supporter of women and horsemanship. And that's because women like to keep their places a little cleaner than the guys do. And he's involved in getting rid of flies and has great technology for that. I have 4 daughters, all of whom are cowgirls. 3 of them are 24/7. My wife is 24/7, 365. But my daughter Sarah is a full time horse trainer in the business who has clients now and is going around. She's at the, as a matter of fact, she's at the big event out in Reno this week for reining cow horses, and she's excited about me getting to participate, and I owe all that to Tom Spaulding, and I just want to give him a little bit of credit for being a guy who binds together a lot of people in this horse world.
Well, he really does. He's involved with the Light Hands as well, isn't he, 8?
Yeah, and he's a big sponsor of Cabo Dressage, so give him a big hand there, yeah.
All right. Well, kudos to Tom and Spaulding Labs. And we want to remind folks that Murph is at the AMP at Adamson Square in Carrollton, Georgia, tonight at 8. And then we'll be at the Freeland Center of the Performing Arts Saturday the 27th in Briston, Oklahoma. And check his website out, michaelmartinmurphy.com, for his tour schedule. And then it'll be in Guthrie next weekend. So that's almost here. And H, you have your world finals coming up in November, don't you?
Yeah, you're right, and that's in Rancho Marietta, California, and we're expecting to have a big turnout there. You know, last year we have about 500 rides. I think that we're going to probably even double that this year. So it's catching on because people love what we represent, and as I said before, you know, it's about time that we learn that kindness doesn't cost you anything. And when you deal with horses, be kind is probably the recipe for every good horsemanship.
Well, so, we need to get you back on to talk a little bit more about the finals before that happens. So maybe sometime in October, since you're now a regular member of the team here, we'll just include you for October on that. So, but you'll have to bring Debbie.
And I'm not nervous anymore. So.
All right. Well, all right. So, some things to put on your calendar, and be sure and try to make it to Guthrie, Oklahoma. This is going to be a fun event. A lot of action. It's not going to be anything that's slow. It'll be a lot of fun. A lot of entertainment. A lot of vendors there. And great entertainment, and it'll be a real learning experience as well. So that's the American Horsewoman's Challenge, and root for Megan.
You root for Megan, and we hope
Megan.
All to see you there. You take
all
care.
Right. All right.
Thank you.
Guys, thanks all of you for being on the show today. I appreciate you very much. Murph, thank you, and 8, thank you, and Megan, thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Well, we'll see you on the trail, Gary.
Right. All right, we'll see you soon. All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, we've had a good time talking with all of these folks. A lot of interesting things going on in the horse world. And, again, that's the American Horsewoman Challenge that will be taking place October 3rd through the 5th in Guthrie, Oklahoma. So put that on your calendar. And thanks again to Michael Martin Murphy for joining us, for Etan Bethelakmi being with us, and for Megan joining us on the call today. We want to remind you that on Tuesday, our Saddle Up America show is at noon Central Standard Time, and we're very pleased to have joining us beginning October the 12th, Belinda Gale, who will be hosting Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale, and that will be at 9 o'clock in the morning Central Standard Time every Sunday. And that begins in October. So I think you'll enjoy Belinda's program on Equestrian Legacy Radio. And we are appreciative of our sponsors, the General Store, the sponsors there. And you can visit them at equestrianlegacy.net. And also be sure and visit equestrianlegacy.net and become a Legacy Club member. Some great discounts and some great giveaways each month. And our big year-end award for the Hydra Horse portable watering system. So we thank you as always for joining us on Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we remind you, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride. We're going to close the show today with Templeton Thompson's Girls and Horses, and this is the theme song for the American Horsewoman's Challenge, and we'll see you on the trail.
Talks about them, dreams about them, thinks about them all the time. She's got to have them, be lost without them. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? Now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, still lean on their shoulders. I still feel like that girl someday. What is it? What is it with girls? Always have them, be lost without.